Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Kings chapter 17, I'd invite everybody to stand with me tonight, and we'll stand for the reverence of reading of the Word of God. And we'll look and see what God's got for us here. Goes right in line. But I want to talk to you about faith tonight for just a little bit and try to encourage you in your Christian walk. And I know the passage here is very common passage. It's a very familiar passage, but I'm going to tell you, in some storms that I have faced over the last year or so, I have gotten so much help out of looking at this, and so we're going to look at it tonight. The Bible says, look in verse number 8 of 1 Kings chapter 17, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him saying," now this is Elijah that he's speaking to, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Verse 13 says, And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah." Let's pray, and you can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. Father, help me as I bring forth the message that you have put on my heart tonight, God. I pray that you would, God, be a help to each and every one of us tonight. God, thank you for the good singing we've heard. And Father, bless this time in your word. We love you, Father. Save that one that may be lost tonight. Help that one that may be going through trials and tribulations tonight. We love you, Father. Have your will and way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated tonight. Now, there are times in our life when we face desperate situations. Situations in which we find our resources, strength, health, or even friends being depleted. Sometimes we find ourselves scraping the bottom of the barrel in our lives. And so, why does God allow us to get into the barrel scraping business? You ever thought about that? I'm sure you have, because I've said that a lot myself. God, why are you doing this? Well, that's a common question, and it's okay to question God about things. Just be okay if he don't answer you. Amen? Don't be bitter. Don't get bitter about it. It's okay to ask a question, but I always remind myself, there ain't never been anybody tested quite like Job was. Would you agree with that? And Job never did get an answer to his question of suffering. You ever thought about that? God spoke to him finally, and you know what? That was good enough for him, praise God. He just wanted to know that God was still watching him. God still knew where he was. I'm thankful that God knows where we are. Ain't you? Yeah, but, you know, why does God allow us to allow the barrel of our lives to reach rock bottom where we are depleted, desperate, discouraged, and depressed? And I'm here to tell you tonight that we're going to find some answers to those questions in this passage of Scripture. Always remember what C.H. Spurgeon said, and don't ever forget this. He said that a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. We never had tribulations and trials and heartaches in life. What would we need God for? You ever thought about that? He is our helper in those times. He is our refuge from the storm. He is the rock. And, well, what do we need all of that for to help us through our life in the trials and tribulation? He's not always promised to eliminate the trial, but he has promised to stay with us through the trial. We need to remember those things. And here God instructs Elijah to visit a widow in Zarephath during a time of a severe drought and famine. And he tells Elijah that this woman is going to take care of him. Look in verse number 9. He says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, right off the bat here, there's a little bit of a problem. Y'all think y'all pick up on that yet? Because the widow woman was supposed to sustain the prophet, and widows were the poorest of the poor in the Bible. In times of famine, widows were often the first group to die off, and God is telling Elijah here that she's going to take care of him. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? And just because things get hard doesn't mean that they can't be holy. Amen? The good news is that God is still working the famine or in the hard times of life, and just because some of us may give up doesn't mean that He gives up. The widow we find in this story has a little boy. She has very little bread, and she has very little belief. She's not planning to make it through the famine. She plans on dying in the hard times of life. And man, that sounds like a lot of people today, doesn't it? Just be honest. Sounds like a lot of people today. You know what her problem is? Her faith is weak. Her faith is weak. And this is the primary reason that God sends Elijah to her. He's not interested in performing another miracle, but He is interested in building someone's faith. Remember, God always has a plan. You know, it's kind of like with this food box. We're talking about giving all this food to the community, but what I really want to do is give them the Word of God. What I really want to do is give them the gospel. You know what? You know who I got that from? The Lord Himself. Because we know Jesus performed a lot of miracles. We know God performed a lot of miracles. We have a Bible full of them. But do you know why He performed those miracles? There was always some deeper purpose behind it. It was so they would believe. That's the biggest problem in the New Testament. We find all these people following Christ because He was feeding them and He was doing all these wonderful things. But they didn't really want to follow Him. As a matter of fact, in John 6, they all turned and fled from Him because they couldn't handle His preaching. They loved His miracles, but they couldn't handle the truth. So we need to remember that God has a deeper purpose, and so He is going to perform a miracle, because we just read that in our text. But His purpose was not just to perform a miracle. His purpose was to grow and strengthen this widow woman's faith. Now, God knows that she has to keep going. He knows that she has to keep giving. He knows that she has to keep gathering. And here's something interesting tonight. She has everything she needs to get through this famine. The problem is she can't see it because the famine has hindered her faith. We do the same thing tonight. She's allowing what's happening around her physically to affect her spiritually. We do it all the time, do we not? She has her eyes off the Creator and on her circumstances, and her faith is growing weaker and weaker by the minute. And honey, I'm here to tell you tonight, if you do the same thing, your faith will go weaker and weaker and weaker by the minute. But if you will get your eyes on Jesus, He will strengthen that faith for the trial that you're in. That's what we're going to see. What's God do about all this? Well, I love this part, all right? You know what God does about all this? She's got weak faith. He's going to go help her out. He's going to help her grow that faith. You know what? You know what He does? You know what God does? He sends her a preacher. Hallelujah, right? He sends her a preacher. God didn't move Elijah. I want you to understand something. God didn't move Elijah to feed him. He was already doing a great job of that by the brook. God didn't care if he was in the city or by the brook. He's going to feed him one way or the other. That's not why He moved Elijah. He moved Elijah because there was a widow woman that had very weak faith. God could have fed this woman without Elijah too. You don't understand that. But no matter, God sends her a preacher, and I'm thankful for that. In this case, someone stronger in faith than what she was. Now, there's something there for us. Don't you appreciate it when God sends a stronger saint into your life to help you? Why do we assemble together? It's in Hebrews 10. We are to assemble together to exhort one another. We are to bear one another's burdens. You know what we are here for? We are here to build each other up. What a blessing it is to know people, hey, I'm just being honest with you. I'm thankful that in those times that I'm down and I'm out and my faith is weak, I've got people in my life that will come around and strengthen me in those moments. And it's funny, too, because in the same moments that they're weak, I can strengthen them. I've often said this to my wife. And we've talked about this a lot. I said, honey, as long as we're not both down at the same time, we'll be all right. Because there's days when she's down and I help lift her up. And there's days when I'm down and she helps me. And as long as we ain't both having a bad day at the same time, we get through pretty good. God helps us. But it's good to have those people that are stronger. Amen? And so Elijah, this goes right in. He goes in and God sends her someone stronger in the faith. You see, Elijah had seen a miracle. Elijah has already been fed by God. Elijah has tasted the bread. Elijah has been given orders by God. And God intends to use Elijah to show this widow woman that she has all that she needs to make it through the famine or the hard times in life. Look at verse number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. Now you think about it. Elijah faced just as much of a test as anyone in this story. He had no clue who this woman was. He had no clue what she looked like. He didn't know where she lived. I'm sure she wasn't the only widow woman there, but God worked it all out, didn't he? Our God is a God who works on both ends of the line. You ever seen that in your life? You don't know what's going on. He's working in somebody else's heart to take care of what you've been praying about. Isn't that amazing how God works? He does that all the time in my life. And what a blessing it is. Our God is one who works on both ends of the line. Think about this. When Jacob and his sons needed food, God provided a Joseph in Egypt. When the children of Israel sent their spies to Jericho, God gave them a Rahab. When the Jews faced a Haman, God raised them up an Esther. When the Ethiopian eunuch needed salvation, God sent him a Philip. God always works on both ends of the equation at the same time. It's amazing. You know how God can do that? Because He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, and He's everywhere at the same time. If God wasn't who God is, He couldn't do those things. But He is, and He does. And the point is this, when your time of need arises, rest assured that your Father has already gone ahead to spread the table of provision on your behalf. Why? Because Philippians 4:19 tells us that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, you can take that to the bank, folks. God is wanting this widow to see that she has what she needs to make it through. 1 John 5:4 tells us, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How do we overcome the world? Faith. How do we get faith? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We're seeing that play out right here. She needs some faith, and she needs to grow her faith, and God sends her a preacher. So, and He's sending her a preacher to let her know she's got everything that she needs already. Now, number one, I want you to notice this with me. She has the right inspiration in this famine. Look in verse number 9. The Bible says, have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. In other words, God is speaking to this woman. He's already spoke to her before He spoke to Elijah, and she had heard from God. But here's the thing. She was having trouble believing God. You ever been there? You ever got a word from the Lord and said, hey, are you sure about that? Well, it happens to me all the time. It don't happen to y'all. Anyways, you ever wonder that? You sure about that, God? You really want me to do that, God? Hey, when He speaks, He speaks. So she had heard from God. She was just having trouble believing it. Number two, she had the right instruction. Not only the right inspiration, but the right instruction. What's the instruction? Well, God clearly told her what he wanted her to do. Verse 9 says he commanded her to sustain Elijah. The problem is she doesn't believe that she can do this. She's looking at the circumstances around her, and the resources that she has are not sufficient for what God has asked her to do. And let me say this, though. If God commands us to do something, you can mark it down. He's going to give you the resources to accomplish it every time. Amen. So number three, she's got the right inspiration. She's got the right instruction, but she also has the right ingredients. Notice this in verse 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. What do you mean, preacher, she's got the right ingredients? Here's the ingredients. She's got water, she's got meal, and she's got oil. That don't sound like a whole lot, does it? Say amen. Yes. Yeah. Don't sound like a lot. Hey, if we went home tonight and all we had was water, meal, and oil, the bass house would be in trouble. Okay? That's what she's got, though, and it doesn't sound like very much, but you think about this just a moment, okay? Let's get our eyes off of the physical for just a moment and think about the spiritual for just a moment, all right? Water is a type of the Word of God throughout the Bible, is it not? Meal is a type of Christ, who said that He is the bread of life. Amen? Oil is used as a type of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something tonight, y'all? When what we need most, when the hard times come, when the famine comes, when the moment that you're at the end of your rope comes and you think you have nothing left to lose, all you need to get through those times are Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit. It's all you need. We got it right here in front of us. Faith always brings these ingredients into an individual's life. It's amazing. What she needed most was typified all around her. But while she has all these things, she has the wrong intentions in this famine. She's got a lot of right things, but she's got the wrong intentions. Look in verse 12. As she said, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. That puts a damper on it, doesn't it? It's quite obvious that she's depressed. Up to this point, a woman had said nothing. God has spoken to her. Elijah has spoken to her, but she has said nothing. She has lost her husband, and she has lost hope. She's not only depressed, but she is doubting. And when this woman speaks, or she begins to speak, she calls God's Elijah, she calls God Elijah's God, not her God. Notice that. As the Lord thy God, she says. And you know, at this point, she doesn't really know if Elijah's a true prophet or a false prophet, because guess what? There was just as many around then as there are today. You better watch a man that tells you that your pockets are going to be full and you're going to be so healthy that you don't even need insurance. I'm going to tell you something. Christian life ain't easy. Tribulation's going to come, because, honey, we're in the world. Thank God we ain't of the world, though. God don't promise a perfect life down here. He promises a perfect life to come. Amen? You better watch these guys. They'll have you thinking everything's going to be just fine. But honey, there ain't nothing further than the truth when we look at the Bible. Man, everybody in the Bible had it a whole lot worse than I do. Amen? We need to keep those things in mind. She don't know at this point. He may be a false prophet. There was a lot of them. You remember, he goes on to kill 450 of them. Right here in the next couple chapters. But anyways, she's not only doubting, though. She's depressed. She's doubting. But she's also depleted. When she does begin speaking, listen to how she speaks. She says, I have not a cake, but a handful, a little cruise. You know what? She ain't got no faith at all in her vocabulary. She knows what God has said, and she knows what Elijah needs, but she doesn't have much faith in either one of them. I want you to know she's not only depleted, but she's also defeated. The only thing she believes is that she and her son are going to die. I mean, it's right here in front of us. It's all she believes in right here. She just knows they're going to go back and they're going to starve to death. She's already witnessed this, and now she's waiting for this to come to pass. There's only one thing that will help build faith, and you know what that is? I already mentioned it. It's the Word of God. How do we get more faith? Well, we must get more of His Word in us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God will use His man to deliver His Word. And that's exactly what Elijah's getting ready to do right here. Verse 13, I love this verse. Bible says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said. What'd she say she was going to do? She's going to make it, they're going to eat, and then they're going to die. Y'all, the Bible's funny sometimes, all right? Here's Elijah. He's already been getting fed. He knows everything's going to be good. She says, I'm going to go die. He says, it's okay, honey. Don't worry about that. You can go on and do all of that, but first, go get me something to eat. He don't miss a beat. Did y'all notice that? He don't miss a beat. He says, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. He's basically saying, well, honey, go get that bread, make me some cake, and once I eat that, you can go make yours and die, okay? That's what he says. Might as well laugh about it. I get cracked up sometimes at the Bible. But this woman, now here's the thing, getting this woman to do what has been asked is not as hard as getting her to believe in what she's doing, okay? Why do I say that? Because she's been pretty easy to work with up to this point. She went and got him water when, you know, she knows something's going on here. But I want you to, here's what I want you to understand tonight. We have a lot of people not doing, and then we have a lot of people doing but not believing in what they're doing. And we see that right here. And so she's given a command back in verse 9 to get some water, and she exercises a measure of faith in verse 10 and 11 in getting this water. And even though she's wanting herself, she is still willing to go get and give some water in the hardest of times. We do see a measure of faith in her life. Do you know what this tells me, though? We can be busy doing a lot of things and not believe in what we're doing. Because the only thing she believed is that she was going to go back and die. But yet she was still doing these things. Does that make any sense to anybody? Does that hit home for anybody? Our motive, you know, it's not just what you do, but why do you do it? I've often said this, we need in our day to know what we believe and know why we believe it. Because there's a world out there waiting to kick the foundation out from under our feet. Our kids have an entire system in university and colleges that are just waiting to kick the foundation out from under their feet. We need to know not only what we're doing, but we need to know why we're doing it. We need to know what we believe, but we need to know why we believe it and hold to it. But at any rate, I won't charge you anything for that message. We'll move on and get back on the rails, okay? Notice the words she receives in verse 13 and 14. The Bible says, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Watch what he says now. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now the Lord doesn't leave her wondering any longer, but tells her what will happen if she will obey. Even when she could not see, even when she did not understand, even when she did not fully believe, she obeyed the Lord's command. The point here is that God's call on our life often makes demands that are difficult to understand. Why would He call me to do that? Why would the Lord allow this to happen? Why would the Lord allow that to happen? Why this? Why that? But listen to me, child of God. When God demands, when His demands are accompanied by a clear word of God, then we need to have no fear. But we can respond in faith knowing that God will take care of us. I will say that because I've been there time and time again. God has tested faith and tested faith and tested faith. And the best thing you can do is just go with Him. Can I tell you something just as confusing as some of His commands are? Not confusing, but just as, Lord, are you sure you want it? You really want me to do that? Well, Lord, if I do this, I'm not going to be able to do this. Or how am I going to do this if I follow this? Hey, can I tell you something? Just as miraculous as Him thinking you can do this, that, or something else is how He sustains you in doing it. You want to know more about it? Talk to me. I walked away from a career. I walked away from what would be a salary for a lot of people. Cut everything in half, got into the ministry because God was calling me into it, had no idea how I was going to make ends meet, but I've never went hungry. I've never had a need that God didn't supply. There was times after that, things was getting weird, and sometimes I had questions about how this was going to work, how that was going to work, and honey, can I just tell you, He come through every time, right on time. Every time. I've told people the way I got exactly where I am right now is by faith. He keeps testing that faith. But I'm going to show you something here. Why does God do that, preacher? That sounds almost miserable. Right? Constantly getting us out of our comfort zone. Constantly getting us out of our little security blankets. Right? Anybody got security blankets? Yeah, them things are good, ain't they? It's like sometimes in my life, I got to the point where I'm afraid to get one of them because he'll just come grab it away. Preacher, that sounds horrible. It ain't horrible. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Let me show you something right here. Notice the turnaround in verse 15. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Miss Tanya, you go ahead and come on up and start playing for us. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Which, what was Elijah doing? He was just preaching the word of the Lord to her. So she listened to God, okay? She listened to the word of the Lord. The Bible says, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Notice she's exercising her faith here. Her faith is weak, but she starts exercising it. Because she went and did. That's what verse 15 says. She's not only exercising her faith, but she's enjoying her faith. Preacher, how in the world was she enjoying her faith? Honey, she was enjoying it every time she sat down for a meal. They ate many days, the Bible says. And here's the big thing. Here's the last thing. She's experiencing her faith. Look at verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. She is experiencing her faith. Can I tell you something, church? Faith must first be exercised before faith can be enjoyed. If you're going to enjoy the blessings of God, if you're ever going to, hey, I'll tell you this much. I think it was Leonard Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill said this, if I can get it right. He said, everybody wants the mantle. He's preaching on Elijah and Elisha. He said, everybody wants my mantle is what he said. But he said, don't nobody want the sackcloth and ashes. And honey, if you're going to have a strong faith, and I tell you what's going to happen, you're going to have to exercise that faith. How are you going to exercise that faith? You're going to have to lean on the Lord. Well, how am I going to lean on the Lord when everything else falls out from under you? but it's precious. You know what it does to us? It makes us love Him more and more and more and more. And she, in this passage, is now experiencing her faith because she has exercised it. Let me tell you something else about faith tonight. Each day, what's it say? She and he and her house did eat many days. You know what happens when you exercise your faith? You enjoy your faith, of course. But each day was a step of faith. All right? Each day was a step of faith, but guess what? Each day got a little easier and a little easier and a little easier because guess what? God ain't changed a bit. He sustained me yesterday. He'll sustain me today. He's taking care of me today. He's going to take care of me tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but He holds tomorrow and it's going to be all right. So I don't know what you're going through tonight. I don't know what your trouble is tonight. You might be defeated tonight. You may be depressed tonight. You may be depleted. But honey, God has not changed. She could trust God today in her famine, all because she had trusted Him the day before.